Well, I'm glad you're here this morning. I'm eager to continue us in our I've Witnessed It series. Have you enjoyed hearing people's stories and just celebrating with them and being with them? And I am also in awe of just the different pieces that we get, but also knowing that God is not done, that all these stories are complicated and nuanced. And I don't ever want you to think, oh, all these stories have this tidy bow. This is just like, God did this and everything's great and we're fine and lovely and, you know, no. Our stories are lifelong journeys with Jesus and there's always more going on than we understand. So check in with each other, pray with each other, celebrate with each other, and we trust that God is at work in our lives. I have a question for you. Any of you remember this relic from the early 90s? Only a couple of you. Magic Eye? Oh, I got this for my kids. I'm like, step into my childhood. These really wild, like, prints, and you know what you have to do? You have to, like, step back. There's one on the screen. Can anybody see the image in there? It's actually a camel. Shocking, right? This is the thing about Magic Eye. I loved these. Megan and I were just talking this morning about how we both knew how to see them, and so we would hold that over our friends' heads. And I was watching Pearl and Jack actually yesterday. I got it out. I'm like, try this. And Pearl was telling Jack, you just need to cross your eyes. Just cross your eyes. And I wasn't sure if that was just a big sister move to make him look bad or what. But these are these images where, like, you look at the image and you're like, what is that? It's a bunch of weird random shapes and colors, and there's clearly a pattern, but I don't see a picture. It just looks like fuzz. It looks like chaos, colorful chaos. But as you take a step back, if you actually had the book, you can come up and try it later if you want. You hold it up really close like this, and as you get farther and farther away, the image becomes clear. Isn't that a beautiful picture of what life is like with God? There's perspective, right? We're in the middle of seasons in our lives, and you're like, what is going on? I don't see anything. I see chaos. In fact, it hurts my eyes sometimes to look too closely. I see a jumbled mess of colors, of shapes that I can't make out. And then as we take some steps back, we get something called perspective. And as we get perspective, we can see an image emerge. We see a picture emerge. And as we see a picture emerge, we're surprised, amazed. Oh, there's a camel there. There's something there. This whole time, there's been an image there. Perspective changes what we see. And I couldn't help but think of my Magic Eye books this week when I was thinking about perspective and thinking about what has God done over a lifetime? What does God do over generations? And what does God do in a long period of time, not just in a moment or a season or a circumstance? And I believe what we see, if we step back, we have some perspective, and we can see things more clearly, we actually begin to see that God is faithful, and we see a picture emerge. And so today, our story is from someone who has perspective. And this is Eileen. She's often in our classic service, but many of you probably know Eileen. She's a dear friend to Ashworth for many years, and this is her story.
I'm Eileen Tuttle. I've been coming to Ashworth for quite some time now. I was raised in a church from the time I was very young. But I didn't really know Jesus or get familiar with following him until my teen years. I was able to see the goodness of God in my family. And then as life went on and I got older, things of course happen in life. The good, the bad, and the ugly. And as I look back, one thing just led to another, and I could see the faithfulness of God. He tells us to test him, to put him to the test, and that we're okay to ask questions, and that we're okay to struggle and doubt. And I've done all that. I've also seen some miraculous things. I have written a check that I thought was good and found out that money wasn't going to be there. I prayed about it and We picked up the mail on the way home, and in that mailbox was a check that I had no idea was coming. And it was enough to cover the check I'd written and $12 and some odd cents to put gas in the car. Those are things that just, you never forget. And a lot of people like to say, oh, it's karma, or it's coincidence. I believe that if we follow Christ and we trust Him to go before us, beside us, and behind us in our lives, there is no such thing as happenstance, or perhaps, or coincidence. And that is what I have been the recipient of all of my life. One of the biggest things that have changed me in the last year or so is I give Him my expectations and my thoughts. I give those up. Because when we expect things, when we think that something's going to go a certain way, we set ourselves up for disappointment, for frustration, for anger, for all of those things in our life that really shouldn't be there. And it's just a part of being still. And when we're still and when we wait on the Lord, it's not just twiddling our thumbs. We just continue to stay close to Him. And that can be with music, that can be in prayer, that can be in reading, that can be talking to a neighbor or a friend. It's just simple, and we try to make it so hard. We have the breath of God Almighty in our souls, and we need to protect and know that that's who we really are. We have a Savior that would make Himself what He did to die for us. That's all we need to know. And I remember every spring we would get baby chicks that we would raise. And there was a dome-shaped lamp. And it had a heat bulb in it, a heat lamp, because they needed to be warm. I just remember Jesus looking over Jerusalem and weeping over it and saying, I would have gathered you under my wings like a hen with her chicks, but you wouldn't let me. And that's where it comes down to it. It's what do you want, and what are you willing to let the Holy Spirit accomplish in you?
Okay, Eileen. Yes, amen. When Eileen looks back over her life in the perspective that she has, not just in one season. In fact, I thought, wow, she has all these stories she could tell. She has a story here, a story here, a story here. But what she sees is a theme over her life. And it's not randomness, it's not coincidence, it's not happenstance, as she says. It's the faithfulness of God. I love that she said, I've been the recipient of that all my life. In the moments where she didn't know how bills were going to get paid, somehow God provided. In moments where she leaned in to struggle and doubt and realized that God was with her, there were moments that were detours in her life that she never anticipated in taking. But eventually she sees that God has been faithful and with her through it all. I love her sentiment of like, I've experienced it all, the good, the bad, and the ugly. And now as I look back, there's one thing that I see, one thing led to another, and I can see the faithfulness of God. We've been doing this series on I've Witnessed It and talking through lines from this song, which we'll finally sing, I think, again next week, so you'll be ready. It will mean more to you now after hearing all these stories. But we're focusing this morning on the line in the song, I've witnessed your faithfulness, the kind of anchor, the heart of the song. I've witnessed your faithfulness. And as we turn to scripture this morning, that's where we find Paul. He is experiencing God's faithfulness, and he has perspective. He's entering this kind of last season of his life. In fact, we are going to jump into 2 Timothy, and this is supposedly the last kind of writing that we have of his, or the last writing that Paul gave us. He's writing from prison, not from comfort, not from success and achievement at the end of his life, but he's writing from prison. Paul was beaten, he was abandoned, he was betrayed. I mean, if anyone's life looks chaotic up close, it's Paul's. But as Paul steps back at the end of his life, as he's writing to Timothy here, you see that something else stands out to him, and it's not the pain that he's endured, it's not the hard seasons, it's the faithfulness of God. He's telling Timothy, God sustained me, God remained faithful, the gospel was worth it. Hardship is not the whole story. So I want to share parts of that letter with you this morning in 2 Timothy, verse 2, 3 to 5. Paul says, I thank God who I serve as my ancestors did with a clear conscience. As night and day, I constantly remember you in my prayers. Recalling your tears, I long to see you so that I may be filled with joy. I'm reminded of your sincere faith, which first lived in your grandmother Lois and in your mother Eunice, and I'm persuaded now lives in you also. The first thing that we learn from Paul's letter as he's looking back over his whole life and from his perspective is that God's faithfulness is revealed over generations. Paul sees that his story has not been written just with him, but it's been written over decades. Timothy's faith didn't just appear out of nowhere. It came from somewhere. It came from the faithfulness of God, first to his grandmother Lois, who trusted him, and then to Eunice, his mother, passing that faith on and passing it forward to Timothy. And now Timothy's inherited that faith and he's lived it out. There's past and future generations of God's faithfulness that we're seeing already in this story. And I wanted to remind us this morning, and as I watched Eileen's video this week a few different times, I am reminded of a much larger story than my own. A story of generations of God's faithfulness to me, to my family, to future generations to come. And when we step back, when we're so focused on these nitty-gritties of our story, it's hard to see what God's doing. When we step back, we see over time, God has been at work through generations, through other people. Our stories are not isolated. They're connected to other people's stories. In fact, in classic service this morning, if you stuck around, the next service, you'd see Eileen here, and you'd see her mom, Mary, who's in her 90s, sitting right next to her. And on the other side of her is her sister. And if you've hung out with Eileen at all, she's always talking about her grandson, Tristan, who loves Jesus and follows him and asking you to pray for him. You see generations in her family, in our families. In scripture, we see that God's faithfulness is through generations. So we have to take moments to step back and to consider, how has God been at work over the long haul, over relationships and generations in our family? There's this long-standing, enduring steadfastness to God's faithfulness. I experienced it just last weekend. I was at a concert on Saturday with the old Southern gospel group, the Gaithers. Anybody know the Gaithers? And Tim and I and my mom went, and we met up with some of my dad's family while we were there. And I just was having this moment. I mean, I was just worshiping God, but I was like with my mom. I was with other family members. I'm with my brother. And I'm just thinking about all these old songs that, you know, will generations know these to come? I don't know. But it was this experience of generations of faithfulness. We're worshiping as generations of God's faithfulness to us and our family. My grandparents taught my dad, and my dad taught us, and I'm teaching my kids, and there's generations of God's goodness and faithfulness to us. And we've got to take moments to recognize that and remember. And then as the letter to Timothy carries on, Paul knows that Timothy is discouraged. He's writing him to tell him, hey, it's going to be okay. Timothy's weary in ministry. He's discouraged. He's struggling a little bit. And Paul says, yes, there is trouble and there will continue to be trouble. Trust me, I know it well. In 2 Timothy verse 3, he says, you, however, know all about my teaching, my way of life, my purpose, faith, patience, love, endurance, persecutions, sufferings. You know what kind of things happened to me in Antioch, Iconium, Lystra, and the persecutions I endured. Yet the Lord rescued me from all of them. In fact, everyone who wants to live a godly life in Christ Jesus will be persecuted, while evildoers and imposters will go from bad to worse, deceiving to being deceived. But as for you, continue in what you've learned and have become convinced of, because you know those from whom you learned it. There again, you see the generations of God's faithfulness, and how from infancy you've known the Holy Scriptures, which are able to make you wise for salvation through faith in Jesus Christ. And I think God's faithfulness is formed over time in generations, and God's faithfulness is formed in difficulty. And don't we wish this wasn't true? Don't we wish that we could just know and understand the depths of God's faithfulness to us without difficulty? Oh, how I long for that. For myself, and now I feel it with my kids. I'm like, I don't want them to endure anything hard. And yet, that's how they grow. That's how they learn. And how do we ever experience and believe the truth that God is faithful without experiencing things where we need God's faithfulness? In the mental health therapy world, we call that a corrective learning experience. You know, we have these beliefs and we're certain they're true. And often we're like, I'm on my own. I've got to fix this myself. And actually, when we trust and we see, oh, God's faithfulness, God came through, God spoke to me, God was with me, God gave me what I needed, suddenly we learn, oh, it actually is true. God is faithful. And God's faithfulness then is often formed in our own difficulties, which we see in Paul's life. Paul pulls no punches about this. He's like, remember Timothy? Remember the things I've been through? Look at my life. He's asking him to recall, you know, think about Antioch. Remember Lystra? Remember the ways I was imprisoned? Remember how I was persecuted? I was beat? I shipwrecked? You know, I experienced so much suffering. In fact, there were times where Paul thought the mission itself that God had him on was failing, and yet God was faithful. And I love Paul's honesty about suffering here. And Eileen is the same way. If you talk to her or hang out with her at all, she doesn't sugarcoat things. You talk to her for a minute and Eileen will give you the greatest encouragement and she'll be brutally honest with you as well. She's experienced so much more than you could ever even see on this video. I think about so many family struggles that she's endured. I think about loss in her life. I think about her grieving her husband. I think about seasons that Eileen would have never chosen. She herself even talked about having unmet expectations, anger, and disappointment. And yet, it's those seasons, it's those things that allow us to see the faithfulness of God, that have allowed Eileen to see, oh, as I look back, I can see, God, you were with me. You were fighting on my behalf. You were working on my behalf. And I appreciate that as Paul is looking back on his life, sharing with Timothy, giving us perspective, he doesn't say, you know, Timothy, you will endure a lot of things, but you'll figure it out. Every moment will make sense. You will understand what God was doing your entire life in every season. You know, you will struggle, but God will show you how he was at work and all of it. That's not necessarily true. We don't always know. We don't always get all the answers. We don't always get all these things. Instead, he says, I've experienced all these hard things, and yet the thing I'm convinced of is God and his goodness and his faithfulness to me. You heard Eileen say, I've struggled, I've doubted, I've tested the Lord, and I found something to be true over and over. She said, I have been the recipient of God's goodness and faithfulness over and over. And when Paul looks back over his life, he's saying the same thing. Yes, chaos. Yes, loss, imprisonment, disappointment, lots of random shapes and colors and things you don't see or understand. And also, now with perspective, I can see a faithful God who's held me through every moment. I can see the bigger picture as I step back, and I can see how God was at work forming a beautiful life, a beautiful picture, forming me, forming my story and the stories around me. And I wondered this week, even in my own story, and wrestled with God, is this part of what mature faith looks like? Not having every answer, not having a tidy bow or conclusion to every hard season or situation, but just learning to trust. I may not understand all of these things, but what I do trust, what I do understand, is that God is with me, God is for me, and God is faithful no matter the season. And finally, in this letter, I see that Paul is reminding us that God's faithfulness is found over the long haul. God's faithfulness is found in generations, it's formed through our hardship, and it's found over the long haul. He says in 2 Timothy chapter 4, "For I'm already being poured out like a drink offering, and the time for my departure is near. I've fought the good fight, I've finished the race, I've kept the faith. Now there is in store for me the crown of righteousness, which the Lord, the righteous judge, will award to me on that day. And not only to me, but also to all who have longed for his appearing." These are obviously not words of somebody who's just beginning his journey with God. These are the reflections of somebody who's reflecting on his life over years. And notice what matters most to him, not his comfort, not his successes, but he says, "I've kept the faith." And God is going to grant me, he's going to give me extraordinary gifts to come. In 2 Timothy 1, going back, he says, "I know whom I've believed, and I'm convinced that he's able to guard what I've entrusted to him until that day." And I love that. That's his confidence. As Paul is nearing the end of his life, his confidence is not in the achievements. I mean, this man was, you know, the reason for much of the gospel spreading. That's not what he's worried about. He's not worried about his achievements. He's not worried about his struggles, his hardships, his failures. What he's confident of is, "I know who I believed in, and I'm persuaded that he will keep me, and he will keep that which has been entrusted to me. He will guard that." His confidence is in God. Man, there have been times where I have wrestled with Paul and been so annoyed with him. He has this confidence about him that you might also call arrogance. It's easy to see that in Scripture. And yet, what his confidence is, it's not in himself. He is so confident that God is who he says he is, that he is faithful, that he is good, and that he is working a good thing in him. May we all have a confidence like that as we carry on in life, as we get to those stages of life. Psalm 37, 25 says, "I was young and now I'm old, yet I've never seen the righteous forsaken." David's saying here, trust me, he sounds like Paul, trust me, I have perspective over a lifetime. Like, listen to me, I have seen a lot of things. I was young at once, like you were, Timothy, and now I'm old. And I've seen it to be true. God does not forsake or forget his people. He is faithful. And then Joshua says, it's interesting how so many different characters in Scripture say a similar thing toward the end of their lives. Joshua says something similar near the end of his life in Joshua 23. He says, "Not one of all the Lord's good promises has failed." You talk about perspective. These are lifetime perspectives. Looking at God's faithfulness and work over the long haul, over a lifetime, over generations. That is perspective. Distance changes what we see. When we can come back, when we can take a step back, I mean, it's the book, you know, you're up close, it's so easy. We think that we can see better up here, but as we step back, as we take a step back, as many years of life pass and we're able to have perspective, it allows the patterns to emerge. And the pattern that emerges in Paul's life, that will emerge in Timothy's life, in David's life, in Joshua's life, in Eileen's life, is that God is good. He can be trusted. He is faithful, and he is working something out over the long haul in your life. And I think, oh, that's so freeing. Perspective is so helpful. It's one of the benefits of following Jesus over the long haul. You ever hang around some of the older people in our congregation, and you're like, oh, I don't need to stress about this. They're not stressed about this. There's a confidence. Oh, I've seen God. I've seen God work. I've seen God move many times, and I'm confident he will again. When it's easy to get caught up in that moment, they give perspective. And it's interesting to me because that's one of the benefits that comes from aging. And our culture is so opposed to aging. We avoid aging at all costs. You know, it's literally billions of dollars that Americans in particular spend on anti-aging products, surgeries, you know, plastic surgery, whatever it might be, pills, vitamins. We are obsessed with not growing old. It's like our greatest fear. We don't want to look old. We don't want to act old. You know, we don't want to age. And at the same time, even this week, as I'm watching Eileen, I'm like, part of what happens in her life is that she's followed Jesus for a long time. She's growing older and she's seeing more and more and more. She's had more time to see these patterns emerge. Oh yeah, God is good. God is faithful. I've gone to Eileen at different times crying about something, stressing about something that feels right here. And she's like, let's step back a little bit. I remember a season in my life where I experienced that. And God spoke. God moved, God intervened, God is at work, and it's okay. And just the reminder. So what does it look like for us to be people who actually embrace aging and say, yes, as I follow God over years, I get even better news, which is I get the continual pattern of God's faithfulness rather than avoiding that. And I wonder this morning if you're in a situation or a season that feels all-consuming where you're like, oh, here it is. It's all these random shapes and colors, and it doesn't make sense, and it hurts my eyes even to look at it. But God says, step back. Take a step back. And maybe if you don't have the ability to take the step back, you invite somebody who's a few years farther along than you to view the situation that you're in with you. With perspective. And then what we see is that God has been at work on our behalf this whole time, working, providing, carrying us, sustaining, redeeming, even when you can't see it. And here's the tension for so many of us in the room today. Most of us are not at the end of our story yet. We're still up close. We're still right there in the book with our eyes staring, squinting, like crossing our eyes, trying to figure out, God, what are you doing? God, I can't see. Do you ever ask him that? God, are you doing something? Are you moving? Are you working? I'm having a really hard time seeing. I'm doing a lot of squinting right now. But I think faith in this season, if that's the season you're in, may simply look like listening to Eileen, trusting that there's a bigger picture, trusting the words Paul gives us as he speaks to a younger brother, hey, you will experience a lot of hardship and God will remain faithful to you and you will faithfully follow him. So I want to ask you this morning, even just where you are, you can close your eyes, just take a minute. What do you see when you step back from your life? It's so easy to just always be in the stressor, the moment, the season right in front of us. Take a step back, just in your brain this morning even. Where were you 10 years ago? Where were you 20 years ago? Eileen called it the good, the bad, and the ugly. We have it in our lives. But ask God, God, show me the bigger picture. Begin to show me what's the bigger picture of what you're doing in my life. Invite him to show you with new eyes places that have been blurry, that have been confusing. I believe there are moments where God's protected you, where he's provided for you, where he's carried you and you didn't even realize it. Maybe it was an ending to something that was painful, but now it's the beginning of something new. And if he was faithful then, he'll be faithful now. And this morning, I want you to know that the same God who carried Paul is the same God who carried Eileen. It's the same God that carries you. Even when the picture is hard to see. So lean in. Ask God to give you perspective. New eyes. And some of that just comes with time. But I do love Eileen's wisdom to us. She said, stay close to him. Be still and stay close to him. I loved her image of the, you know, she's a farm girl, the baby chicks around the warming lamp. Let him gather you under his wings. Release your own expectations and allow the plan that he has for your life to work itself out. And I believe as we look at our sister's life and as we listen to Paul, what we'll see and experience is God's faithfulness to us too.